Many of us lead lives by the numbers, numbers that are remembered and half-remembered, cited, demanded, filed, and dismissed, numbers used to certify, quantify, identify, and demonstrate, numbers that can be both difficult to remember and hard to forget. Dame Anita Roddick, the founder of The Body Shop and an outspoken social and environmental activist, is the editor and co-author of a new book that presents a raft of numbers that she hopes will inform, challenge, mystify, and sometimes just amuse people, from the number of people who live in poverty around the world to how long an average British 10-year-old takes to eat his or her body weight in French fries. Her book is called Numbers. Her co-author is David Boyle. Dame Anita Roddick joins us now from our studios in New York City. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for the invitation.
And you put this right up. The number of people in the world who live on less than $2 a day is 3 billion.
Yes, that is another established fact. Some of those are absolute facts. Some of those are conjectures, and some of those numbers, because we're all obsessed with numbers, probably just as mysterious, and how in the heck did we ever find them? But one of the areas that I wanted to pepper the book with was these numbers that should shock one to the core. And numbers that, you know, we see all our lives and expect, you know, license numbers of all kinds, our passport numbers, PIN numbers. But somehow the stats of everyday life and death never seem to get to us. It's a curious thing, but it's also magical and it's full of mystery. And I don't like numbers much. So I thought, well, a way of getting over my obsession of dislike for numbers. Let's see if I can construct a pleasant-looking, fun book and seeing if I could be a better dinner companion with able to quote some of these things. Like, do you know how many dimples there are on a golf ball? I mean, this
no,
you
no,
have
no,
to know.
No, I don't know how many dimples there are on a... Wait, hold on. Let's get a golf ball. I'll start counting. No, how many... Yeah, I don't. I think I missed
336.
That.
336. It might not help you navigate your way around the world any better, but it's fun to know anyway.
It seems like you have a mix of statistics between...
Yes.
Stuff which you're willing to say, oh, just take that with a grain of salt, or who really knows, and things that you consider are very important for us to believe absolutely. But for somebody thumbing through the book, how would you tell the difference?
I think the political ones are an absolute for me, because I wanted to try and find this funny, curious little book. I wanted to have some really serious stuff in there. And I, you know, for me, that's important. The rest, well, you know, I like the narrative, the stories of the proportion of the world's population living on less than $2 a day. That for me is everything. That, you know, my whole life is trying to bring up this issue of poverty and this huge dilemma of corporate globalization.
I was particularly skeptical of one number in here, one statistic. It says percentage of the U.S. male population that lives on a diet almost exclusively of beer and fast food.
Why are you skeptical?
Well, because it says 34%. And all jokes aside, that strikes me as a little high.
Well, you go to Scotland, you know, north of England, and yeah, has the worst diet, I think, in the United Kingdom. And that diet consists almost solely of carbohydrates, and it's appalling. And the numbers are in the double digits there. So, I mean, when you think of the obesity level in America, and we're a close second in England, I'm not surprised.
Percentage of Britons who sleep naked.
That was very difficult to find out, but we did find it out.
I was going to ask you, 51%.
Yep.
We are talking about what can be cold and clammy
weather. You know what
weather.
That is? That, what? No. It's all about, we've suddenly been introduced to central heating. We were the last country in Europe, I think, to have central heating. So I think everybody is so gung-ho.
We'll show them. We'll sleep in the buff. Statistic here, which I read, that alarmed me. And we'll suppose for the moment it's true. Average time gallery visitors spent in front of each painting, looking at an art gallery, in 1987 was 10 seconds. Average time gallery visitors spend in front of each painting in 1997 was just 3 seconds.
Are you surprised? Mm. I mean, when you take a look at the average article, how you know, that's moved from 1,000 words to 300 words. It's and the bizarre thing is you get... You know, the most deep questions, how would you like to change the world? But you only got 3 seconds to do it in. So it's a soundbite culture, I think. And if you take a pop music video, everything is in, 3 minutes. I think somebody once said to me, that there should be an eighth deadly sin, and that's the eighth deadly sin should be speed. And it's because it doesn't allow us to be reflective. It doesn't allow us to develop the sense of aesthetics in our life. We don't stand and stare. We don't ruminate. We just have to, this hurry sickness, especially in the business world, it's tantamount to a sort of a fascism of production. So I am not surprised at that. I'm not surprised at that.
Do you mind if I ask you some body shop questions?
You can ask me anything you like.
You started the body shop, or at least the first one, I guess, in Brighton. You had two kids and needed a little extra money.
Yeah, it was. I've been totally embarrassed to say it was a. I even thought of it as a business. I called it just a livelihood. While my husband, he's Scottish, and therefore probably drank more beer than he should have, and he decided to ride a horse from Buenos Aires to New York. You know, if you get married to Scots, that's what they do. It was going to be a 2-year ride, and I think in the Andes, one of the horses fell down a ravine, so he packed it up and came home after about a year plus. So he went off to do that, and I thought, I must open up something to keep, you know, pay for the bills and so on. So I opened up this tiny little shop, not meaning it to be anything more than something to keep the sort of the wolves at bay until he came back. And it seemed to be so easy. It was just a series of brilliant accidents. But what set us apart is we were activists. We were so impassioned about, you know, this is what we took our heart to the workplace. So thank God we never went to business school and then were told, you know, you don't do this thing. You get fixated on the fascism of numbers.
You know, there are people that I'm sure have told you, oh, since you left Dame Anita, you know, the shampoos just don't work, or the hemp oil is no good and that sort of stuff.
Well, you know, very, very rarely do I ever get called Dame Anita. It's usually Dam Anita. So, I mean, so that's one thing. But I tell you something, that actually has never happened. There's been other complaints, but not that. Because we weren't a product-led company when I was running. We were a communications company. You know, the feeling of being alive from the body shop was all the campaigns, the social issues, and the changing of the laws. That was the purpose for me, you know, different purpose. Now it's very, very much a product-led company. But what I'm so thrilled has continued on is the fact that they make great products, and they're keeping this community trade initiative going, where, you know, we can find ingredients that we can put in the products, but sustained cooperatives or family farmers, and I think that's great.
Dame Anita, nice talking to you.
Thank you very much. It's been fun.
Speaking with us from New York, Dame Anita Roddick. Her new book, co-authored by David Boyle, is called Numbers. And she has another book out at the same time called Troubled Water with Brooke Shelby Biggs.